B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I gotta get to my main man. I love my Friday conversations with my man from The Athletic, Zach Berman, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zachariah!
Anthony, thanks for having me on. Just watch.
Oh, wait, what happened? We have you, Zach.
That's awesome.
Zach!
He just walked where? Where did you walk to?
Zach! I'm in my car now.
Oh,
okay. But they're on the field. So it's a Sirianni Friday tradition that before home games, he likes to practice at the stadium.
I love that. I freaking love that. Zach, I love that he wants to practice the stadium. That's why I love this dude. You know the only thing I love, too, what he said when they asked him today, hey, have you seen the Doug statue? And he's like, yeah. And just that's all he said. That's how I would answer that question.
Yeah, for sure. Now Doug said he hasn't seen it. He's seen pictures of it. I'm surprised if Doug hasn't seen it, but it's going to be there for all to see this weekend.
No, I know. I just love the fact that that when Sirianni was like, he was like, yeah. Like, in other words, like, yeah, I saw it. Like, I appreciate that the guy won the Super Bowl, but, you know, it's still like, this is my job. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the Eagles coach right now. That's who. Me.
Absolutely.
That's who.
He's not here for a coronation of Doug. He's here to win a game.
Exactly. That's what I think. Now, let's dive into the game itself, because I do think this is a closer game. I think this is a tighter game on Sunday. It's got the chance to be a little rainy and ugly. I'm curious of your vibe and your matchup. Let's dive right into the matchups for Sunday.
Yeah, so I agree with you, and I was surprised by how big the line was when it came out. And even now, the Eagles are 6.5 points. I thought it was going to be a little tighter. You know, when you look at the numbers here, Jacksonville's number two in DVOA. It's still a little early for those numbers, but they're top 10 in EPA per play on both sides of the ball. I mean, they're a legitimately good team through these first 3 weeks. As far as the matchup, I would say that defensively, I think the Eagles can get to Trevor Lawrence. He's been getting rid of the ball quickly, but I still think this offensive line, for as decently as they're playing, as well as they're playing, I think the Eagles have some edges there. And then offensively,
although I will say this, the Jacksonville line is better than the Washington line, and Lawrence is better getting rid of the ball than our man that we correctly thought would get tortured last week.
Yeah, in Lawrence's case, he's getting hit, but he's not getting sacked, right? So that shows you that he's getting rid of the ball, and I mean that's coming straight from Doug. So the question is, how quickly can these pass rushers get to him? And then on the other side of the ball, I'm going to say this every week. I like the matchup of the Eagles wide receivers, right?
I
think that secondary has some decent, like, long-term players in there, but some guys that are still getting their footing in the league. So, A.J., Devontae, Dallas Goedert, I think the Eagles have some matchups there they can exploit.
I think you're right. Every week, between the two amazing parts of this team that I still look at and I just go, wow, is that their offensive line and those receivers. We talked before the season how these receivers are the best in the history of the franchise, and when you watch them, it's not even close. Actually,
you're right, and that's why there's been a lot made this week about the Eagles' success out of empty, and the Eagles want to keep it close to their vest. But I mean, some of it's not state secrets here. Is that teams don't have five guys who can cover as well as the Eagles have five guys who can get open, and what you can do in those packages is you can exploit matchups to get Devontae on a corner that you want or A.J. on a corner that you want. And so that's partly why it's working. The Eagles, it's been a long time where you look at the matchup and you see three matchups that jump out each game where you say, I like the Eagles' chances in this one.
Now, you know what's interesting is that they play Kirk, right? So Christian Kirk is a big weapon for Sunshine. And the Eagles had a lot of interest. And they had him circled. I know they did. And, you know, then the deal happens. And I know their response was, that's an insane, insane deal. And so it worked out so perfectly that they were able to then turn around and land AJ.
You explained it well there, because Christian Kirk was absolutely someone that they targeted in free agency. There's connections there. They liked the player. But, you know, when they saw what that number was going to be, it's one of those situations where they say, if you can get that, take it, right? And and Jacksonville's been criticized for the value of that contract. But when you watch the film of these first three games and you see the way they're using him, I don't know if he's worth that number, but he's a good wide receiver.
Yeah.
Same thing with Zay Jones. Zay Jones, they paid him, and he's making plays. And even Evan Ingram, I was watching the second game. So not last week, week two, I think it was. You know where he was showing up almost as a heavy slot guy. So the move,
which is something that the Giants could never figure out, probably because of the quarterback. I mean, you know,
yeah,
you need somebody to deliver the ball. That's where, I mean, Lawrence is just legitimate. I mean, he's terrific. And yeah, Urban Meyer was a joke last year, and it stunned him. And you see why the kid is where he is.
You're right, and actually, I think the upside with this Jacksonville offense is ETN, the second year back. He missed all of last year, and he hasn't come on yet. It's been more James Robinson, who's playing well, coming back from the injury. But I think if this game's in November and December, you're saying, man, ETN's really coming on. So I think I like Clips. What Doug has to work with there. And the one thing we know from 5 years of Doug is he can call an offense, right? He can scheme up, what he wants in a given game. That's gonna be fascinating to watch.
All right, so let me ask you this: I'm curious, right? When we look at Doug, what do you think was the biggest reason? Like when it was, I think for most people, when the decision was made to move on from Wentz, that people were puzzled that, well, why did they move on from Doug?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ultimately, where do you think things went sideways between Doug and the Eagles?
Yeah, so there was a few things there, and you know, a lot of it we've written about, just about what was going on behind the scenes there. I think some of those relationships had run their course. I think what Jeffrey Lurie said when he fired him did have validity, that the Eagles wanted to reset in 2021. They wanted to get younger. They wanted to accumulate draft capital. And Doug Peterson didn't, you know, he wanted to load up in 2021. But the way that manifested itself, too, is obviously with the coaching staff, right? Who's going to be your offensive coordinator? Who's going to be your defensive coordinator? How imaginative are you being with those roles? So that was part of it. But I think that it was the type of thing where it ran its course, and my perspective on it has actually changed over time. I thought that Doug got a bit of a raw deal when they made the decision at the time, but I think now it's one of those things that probably benefited both sides, right? The Eagles benefited from a fresh perspective, and I think Doug could use that. He used that time to reset. He's in a different situation now, and I've seen that with other coaches that sometimes change can be beneficial. So I actually, my perspective on it is different a year and a half out than it was when they made it.
No, it's interesting you say it like that because I think the Eagles are in a better place with Sirianni. And again, this has nothing to do with Doug because I think Doug was the perfect guy for that team. It was magical, you know, all that whole thing. But I think as an innovator and I think as a guy long term, like I see Sirianni as like almost Andy 2.0.
Yeah, I mean it's and you saw Andy at the beginning, so I'll take your word there. I didn't see Andy. You know, I wasn't covering the team during Andy's time at the beginning.
Yeah, but, I was there in 90. I actually moved back home Andy's first year in 99, and I got to know him really, really well. And I remember he was young. He was, you know, remember the quarterback's coach, very, very bright, very organized. You know, I think Nick is personality wise they're a little different. Andy behind the scenes, very fun loving kind of dude. And I think they're similar competitors. I also think they're very bright. I think that's the biggest thing they have in common.
Yeah, I mean Nick, the thing that jumps out to me with him is he knows how to deal with people, he knows how to deal with players, knows how to deal with other coaches, knows how to deal with the front office. That dynamic is so important, and that was
Andy.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if you want to draw that parallel, I won't disagree with you.
Yeah, I also think he's a guy that has sustaining power here. I think he's a guy that, you know, that a Jeffrey Lurie who doesn't like one thing I've always respected about him is that he's not one that's always looking to go move on from somebody. And I think he's looking for someone to settle in and really become that guy, like which is the Steelers model has always been.
Yeah. Now, and the thing too with Jeffrey is he's had a lot of success hiring coaches. You know, it's interesting when I was looking at the amount of coaches who've coached second. You know, who every hire that Jeffrey's made has been hired somewhere else, right? And that speaks something to the coaches that he hired.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. All right, so speaking of coaches, let's look at the defensive coordinator for a second because, again, I thought he coached a brilliant game last week. I thought he called it great. You know, he saw early on he was given some pressures, and then he morphed into, like, look, we're able to go generate pressure with our front. They did some great things on the front and allowed everybody to eat. PG looked fantastic again. And I thought Gannon gets another A.
I was so impressed with what that defense did. I was so impressed with what Gannon did. Because what jumped out to me there is he did blitz, but he blitzed on some of the early downs, and they were able to rush four on those passing later downs, and their guys beat the other guys, right?
Yeah.
And so I understand Jacksonville's a different offensive line, different offense than what you saw in Washington. But when your guys are getting pressure, right, and that's where their money's invested, that's where their resources are invested, when they're getting pressure like they did last week, you're going to see similar results.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I was impressed. I feel great about, you know, what I've seen from him these last 2 weeks after the Detroit second half, which I thought was a little sketchy. I liked what I've seen a lot over the last couple of weeks. And tomorrow's a good test again because you're facing a good quarterback. And Lawrence is probably the best quarterback. I like him, certainly has more upside than Cousins. And I think he presents a unique challenge because he's also a great athlete.
Yeah, he's the I think he's the toughest challenge of the four that they've seen so far. I think Kyler Murray is going to be a tough one next week, obviously too. But yeah, I mean I just look at this matchup and I think Doug's going to have some ideas, right? This one matters to Doug. I don't think the revenge factor was a huge deal last week against Carson. I do think it's a factor this week against Doug.
I
think Doug,
he's itching. Yeah, he's itching. I agree with you.
Matters to Doug. I think this one matters. Like the way it ended, the entire situation. I think he wants to come here and win this game.
I agree with you. I think he's itching. Here's the thing, though. You know, again, when I look back on it, I mean, he was weak with his assistants. I mean, that was a problem. You know, I mean, you know, they had issues. That was real. And then the other thing, too, is I look at what Sirianni did, stepping away from the play calling, which is what Brian Daboll did in New York, and which I thought Doug should have done.
Well, he certainly needed to change things after 2020. And so that's, you know, there's a lot of versions to what happened. But from what I understand, I do think Doug probably could have been more imaginative in putting a staff together, right? And after the team was clearly in a bad spot following 2020, and they needed to make changes there. And if it wasn't the head coach, it needed to be material changes on the coaching staff, and they obviously were not going to do that.
Yeah, I feel you, my brother. Listen, great stuff as always, buddy. Love our Friday conversations.
I appreciate it. Look forward to next week.
Yep, me too, buddy. Enjoy the game. There he is.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.